This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. In many states, including Ohio, courts lack comprehensive data on criminal sentences. This leaves judges with no way to evaluate their sentences against similar cases, according to Ohio Supreme Court Justice Michael Donnelly and Hamilton County Court of Appeals Judge Pierre Bergeron, and it gives judges largely unrestrained sentencing power. For states that are gathering statistics, Donnelly and Bergeron find racial disparities in those sentences. They argue better sentencing data could lead to reform in the criminal justice system. So joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss are Justice Donnelly and Judge Bergeron. Justice Donnelly, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Judge Bergeron, welcome to you as well.
Pleasure.
So when we think about data, Justice Donnelly, what exactly are we talking about here? What is it that you're lacking in your court?
Well, just as an example, I was a trial court judge in Cuyahoga County for 14 years. And I knew that the law that was our sentencing laws were written way back in 1996. And those laws demand that I treat similarly situated defendants with similar sentences. And I didn't realize the gravity of this problem until after I left the bench and joined the Supreme Court. I always thought of myself as being a pretty fair sentencing judge. However, I realized that the way this lack of data, no one ever presented me with data on my previous sentences on which I could rely and make sure that I'm keeping myself consistent, that my sentences were free of implicit bias that we all have. And now that I have studied this issue with Judge Bergeron, I've come to believe that the objective of making this database a reality is the most important issue at hand in terms of criminal justice in Ohio. And if we can do this once and for all, we can advance the system light years in its ability to treat people more fairly, regardless of irrelevant factors like the color of your skin, your station in society, or whatever. So this is the data that most people believe we have. In fact, the legislature demanded that we collect this data back in 1996, if you read the legislative history. But the problem is we never did as a court system, and it's imperative that we do it now, once and for all.
I want to note that both Justice Donnelly and Judge Bergeron co-wrote a piece that was published by The Atlantic last December. They were also interviewed on NPR's All Things Considered. They spoke with Mary Louise Kelly, a familiar name to many of our listeners, I would imagine. I want to note, Judge Bergeron, that the title of the piece you all published in The Atlantic is How a Spreadsheet Could Change the Criminal Justice System. Are we really just talking about a spreadsheet? And if so, what's the trouble in getting this done?
Well, it's not that simple as you might imagine. And but the issue is, at the end of the day, yes, if we have all of the data from all of the various counties in Ohio, and we can aggregate that data and then analyze the data, yes, many of these things will be on a spreadsheet that a sentencing judge could look at and could compare the sentence that he or she is considering to what their colleagues have done across the state. But the challenge in getting this is that we're 88 counties. We do not have a unified court system. And so each county has a different way of collecting data. And it's not an apples to oranges comparison. So we can't just take Hamilton County data and put it alongside Summit County data and expect it to show the same thing. That's part of the problem. But the other part of the problem is we have aging technological infrastructure, which really makes it a challenge to even integrate the data that we do have.
So, Judge Bergeron, you're on the Hamilton County Court of Appeals. Justice Donnelly is on the Ohio Supreme Court. Are you all dealing with sentencing right now? I mean, in your current capacities?
We are. I mean, we're asked to review sentences on a daily basis. And, you know, when the issue is presented to me on the Court of Appeals, I can look at that sentence and say, well, that strikes me as unduly high or unduly low. But that's just my gut instinct. I don't have data which I can compare it to see if my instinct is right or not.
And Justice Donnelly, there are obviously state laws and people do find themselves on the other side of them. And then when it comes time to convict and face a judge for sentencing, you might see that statute suggests this felony. carries a possible sentence of 2 to 20 years? And how does a judge start to break down what's the more appropriate part of that range?
Well, in other states, they have guardrails that guard against unrestrained judicial discretion, as you mentioned in your own remarks. We don't have that in the state of Ohio. When the authors of the sentencing legislation implemented those laws, they thought that the Court of Appeals would be a check on the system and would be able to reverse sentences that didn't seem proportional to the conduct. But a lot of decisions that have been made by the Ohio Supreme Court, decisions which I dissented in, stripped appellate courts of that ability to review sentences. And now, as long as it's within the legislative range, you know, a Court of Appeal judges, you know, feel like their hands are tied behind their back. And just to give you an example, the first decision that I reviewed as a Supreme Court justice involved a nonviolent theft-related offense, a 57-year-old woman who had no really previous record, and she pled to she was going into nursing homes and stealing various items from the residents there, not to minimize their conduct. She needed to be held accountable. But when she entered a plea and showed up at her sentencing hearing, she didn't know whether she was going to receive probation or whether she was going to receive the 65-year sentence that the judge ended up giving this woman. So she found out on the day of her sentencing that she wouldn't be going home on probation. She was going to die in prison. That's just one anecdote that shows you the tremendous power that is within our trial court judges right now. And if we don't provide them with the information to keep that power in check and to provide policymakers in the legislature to bring those ranges within reasonable limits, we're going to continue to have cases like that.
You're talking about the case of Susan Gwynn. This is someone that the two of you explored in the piece that I referenced earlier as having been published in The Atlantic last December. She was a 55-year-old woman and had no felony criminal history and was apparently stealing from nursing home residents' personal property, ultimately sentenced to 65 years in prison. You all are both judges. What is significant, Judge Bergeron, about judges talking about this rather than other advocacy groups, for example?
Well, judges have a number of constraints on what they can say. And I think for that reason, you often don't hear judges wading into policy debates. But one of the things that we are able to talk about are reforms that impact the judicial system. And I think it's one of those issues where Justice Donnelly and I have realized just how critical this is and how important it is for judges' voices to be heard in this process as we evaluate what we should do as a state, because we've missed so many opportunities in the past, and we're committed at least to ensure that we don't miss another opportunity right now.
Justice Donnelly, other states might be collecting some data, it appears. Not as many as you might prefer, but some states are gathering data. Is there surprising findings among that data or troubling findings?
Yes. If your listeners would Google Florida's broken sentencing system, you'll find an investigative piece. Some reporters down in 2016 in Florida did a study of sentencing data that was but they had to dig through. It wasn't readily available, but it took a lot of time. But they found some very disturbing facts. They found that people of color were receiving exponentially more severe sentences than white defendants with similar backgrounds, and often by the same judge. So that goes to our central point. This is a public confidence issue. Public confidence is diminished when our citizens believe that your sentencing outcome is going to be more dependent on the sentencing proclivities of the individual judge who you're randomly assigned to, rather than the rule of law, which requires fairness, proportionality, and that we treat similar defendants with similar sentences. Every practitioner that is listening to this broadcast right now that practices in criminal law knows that the defendant's most important day is not your sentencing day or your plea day or your trial date. It's your arraignment date, when you find out which judge you are going to be in front of, and that should not be the case.
We're talking with Ohio Supreme Court Justice Michael Donnelly and Hamilton County Court of Appeals Judge Pierre Bergeron. Judge Bergeron, last year in the summer of 2020, we saw significant protests across the country, including here in Cincinnati and around the Ohio Valley, related to what has been characterized as a reckoning on racial justice, particularly in the criminal justice system. And that's not just related to the killing of Black people at the hands of police, but also mistreatment in the courts and in incarceration. Did last year influence your feelings on this any further than what you might have already felt about it?
I mean, it certainly did. One of the things that was impactful for me was I read a 2001 report that was by a racial justice task force commissioned by the Ohio Supreme Court. And that report laid out this exact problem in detail and said, we have to solve it. We have to get data or else our justice system is going to be subject to criticism that we're not treating people fairly and that there could be racial disparities in our sentencing. And so when you read that 20 years after the fact and you realize that we didn't do that then, we allowed the problem to fester and indeed get worse, it was pretty sobering. And I think that's why, you know, as tying back to what I was saying earlier, we don't want to miss the opportunity that we have today to correct this. And this has a dramatic impact, not just on the criminal justice system, but also the public confidence in our judiciary. And there's other areas where data could be helpful to the court system. You know, we send people off to do various, to various services to try to, you know, make sure that they improve and they, get rehabilitated. But you know, are we taking a critical look at those and saying, like, is this really effective? I mean, these are taxpayer dollars at issue. These are people's lives at issue. And we should have the data that shows us we're doing the best job that we possibly can.
Justice Donnelly, I would ask you the same question. Your feelings about what we saw last year as it relates to race and justice in this country and how it may have impacted your feelings about the business you've chosen.
Oh, absolutely. It's caused me to study the inequities that permeate the criminal justice system, not only in the front end and the charging end, but all through the plea bargaining that takes place, mostly off the record, sentencing disparities and problems with the wrongfully convicted during the post-conviction phase. So as I see it, the silver lining that emerged from the tragedy, the George Floyd tragedy, is that people have stood up and now we have a great opportunity once and for all. They've had enough and they want change. And this type of feeling that things need to change, I'm glad to say, persist through, progressives, conservatives, and independents. They want a judicial system that's efficient, fair, and treats people the way the law demands.
We will continue our conversation just ahead, a little bit later. Former local TV news anchor Rob Braun, he's off the air and on the farm. We check in on the life he's living now in Pendleton County. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The lack of sentencing data in Ohio could lead judges to make inequitable decisions, according to our two guests right now. We're joined by Ohio Supreme Court Justice Michael Donnelly and Hamilton County Court of Appeals Judge Pierre Bergeron. Justice Donnelly, I've got you here. I have someone from a different part of the judicial branch of state government. Are there judges in another part of the state government or even on your own part of the state government that, are opposed to these types of suggested reforms?
I think there are. I think people are nervous about any type of change like this that brings greater transparency and shines a light on what's truly happening in the system, often causes people concern, particularly judges who are elected, and they don't want this data being presented in a way that's false or critical, and I understand that. But as we go around the state, Judge Bergeron and myself talking about this, and meet with other trial court judges after they think about it and see the potential of informed decision making at a much higher level than exists right now, we're gaining converts by the day, I'm glad to say.
Judge Bergeron, Justice Donnelly raises a good point. You know, there are a lot of judicial positions in Ohio that are chosen by voters. You're elected, you have to campaign, and there are certain issues that you might want to campaign on in order to sway voters your way. Does the tough on crime type of mantra play into this at all?
I mean, I think it can for some people, but I think the important thing is that you need to have the complete picture, and the data provides that complete picture. And the other way that this arises is right now, and we've seen this in Ohio, but there are academics, there are reporters that are doing their own public records investigation analyses. And something I tell folks that may be on the fence on this is this data is going to get out there one way or the other. And wouldn't you like to have the complete picture that everyone can look at to be presented to the voters or whoever you're concerned about rather than a portion of it?
So, Judge Bergeron, what happens now? I know there are conversations taking place and possible suggestions, but are there actionable items in the near future?
There are. In fact, there's a website that just went up earlier this year on the Sensing Data Project. We have a professor at the University of Cincinnati who is working on designing the overall system, and I can't pretend to explain that to you, unfortunately. But there's also judges who have signed up to be pilot judges as we start trying to gather data and do it in an efficient and consistent manner across the state. So we have the wheels in motion. It's going to take a little bit of time, of course, but yes, things are happening.
And Justice Donnelly, this is an issue that our listeners are now hearing about, and perhaps those who heard you on NPR back in December or read your article back then in The Atlantic, they're familiar with, but this might not be a dinner time conversation. Is there a way to explain how this impacts the broader community and not just those who might have to come before a judge and hope for the best after being convicted of a crime?
Yes, I think, you know, the best way to present it is that judges right now in Ohio are handicapped. You know, it's not their fault. It's the fact that we don't have this information. And the ranges that were written way back in 1996 give judges these huge sentencing ranges that can vary from room to room. And when you tell people that you can literally usher one set of facts into one courtroom and come out with an outcome of probation and take that same set of facts and same individual and go into another courtroom 15 feet away and wind up with a sentence of decades in prison, there's a problem. And that's our present problem that we need to fix. And it has to be the number one issue. And I'm hoping that in the upcoming elections, that judicial candidates are asked what their stance on this, because I think if there's a counter argument for this movement, I have not heard it. I certainly would like to, but I think everybody agrees that transparency in our government, whether it's the legislature, the executive branch, and most importantly, the judicial branch that has nothing to do with partisan politics or should have nothing to do with partisan politics. It's important that we move in this direction. And as Judge Bergeron said, we had an opportunity 20 years ago. We didn't take it. we can't miss that chance now.
And Justice Donnelly, how did the two of you connect on this? How have you all become sort of the Ohio judicial face of this argument?
Well, Judge Bergeron and I became friends in 2018. We both campaigned for our position, and we both did so with the motivation to embrace criminal justice reform. We see the problems in the system, and each generation of judges and stakeholders in the system have an opportunity to work together and make the system better for the next generation. And, you know, the more we study different issues, it all comes back to a lack of data in terms of implementing real reforms. And that's how, you know, as I said, the more I study this issue, I can't overemphasize this is the most important issue at hand in terms of criminal justice reform in the state of Ohio.
Judge Bergeron, Hamilton County is one of the more populous counties in Ohio. This is where you serve. Do we see any increased efforts toward reform here when compared to other counties in the state?
I mean, we've certainly been talking to the trial judges here and making sure that they understand the data process that is going on. And I think what I've seen is that several of them are interested in becoming pilot judges themselves. We're working on some various initiatives with them to try to help increase transparency on the courts. So I think we've got a receptive audience here. And I think, you know, we want to lead around the state and basically say, hey, we're gonna take initiative here in Hamilton County and do what we can to help solve this problem and do as much as we can to support others in the state that are working the same on the same issues.
Judge Bergeron, as you've gotten more deeply involved in this effort and you look back on some of the work you've done previously, do you think of any particular cases or sentences that you regret or at least view as perhaps not the best choice?
I think that, you know, I review sentences as a court of appeals judge, so the trial court's already made it. And for a lot of the reasons that Justice Donnelly alluded to, we have very little discretion on what we can do. So I can see a really high exorbitant sentence, and as long as it's within the guideline range, I can't do anything about it. And there was one sentence in particular that sticks out of my mind where an individual, you know, shot at an occupied house. Fortunately, no one was harmed in that. Obviously, he needed to be punished for that. But it was also clear that he had some mental health issues based on everything that was in the record. And the judge sentenced him to 25 years. To me, that struck me as unduly high. I mean, higher than you see for some more serious offenses, whether that be rape or the intentional killing of another person. But there's nothing we could do about it. And I think that, you know, when you think about what can this database do, I think it could show that a trial judge that 25 years for this type of offense is way too high. Now, maybe that trial judge says, well, you know what? It is really high, but there's a bunch of extenuating circumstances that warrant that sentence. But then if the trial judge goes on and explains it on the record, then we know why that judge deviated from what other courts are sentencing someone similarly situated for. And the whole system benefits from that transparency. But as it stands, you know, when you see a 25-year sentence when no one was actually physically hurt, that jumps out as aberrational.
Justice Donnelly, I imagine you agree with Judge Bergeron's remarks there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, any practitioner will tell you that the sentences are for various crimes in Ohio are all over the books. They don't make any sense in terms of how they vary from courtroom to courtroom. The National Center for State Courts, way back in 2008, did a ranking of all the states that have sentencing commissions that had guardrails on judicial discretion that promoted uniformity of sentences and proportionality. And Ohio came in last along with Wisconsin, out of all the states. All the other states had some form of guardrail that was designed to keep sentences proportional and uniform, and they just don't exist in the state of Ohio. And, you know, looking back on my career as a trial court judge, you know, I truly regret that I didn't realize the gravity of the situation and how better informed we could be with the data that we're seeking.
Ohio Supreme Court Justice Michael Donnelly and Hamilton County Court of Appeals Judge Pierre Bergeron. Justice Donnelly, Judge Bergeron, thank you so much for the time you gave us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.